Good evening.
All right. We're going to be working out of Isaiah 33 tonight. If you want to open your Bibles there, please. Last week, when I had an opportunity to do a Lord's Supper in the morning, I kind of focused on refuge and Lord. And up come Kendall that night. He talked about refuge and Lord. And up come Lorenzo and started his message off with out of Psalm 18 about refuge and Lord. None of us knew the others were doing that. And I asked Kendall one that night, I said, do you have that before I did what I did? He goes, yeah, kind of had it. So interesting how sometimes things work. That's not the case today. Everybody's kind of doing different things. But one of the things that Kendall used in his Lord's Supper meditation last Lord's evening, I believe it was you that used it, Kendall, didn't you use Isaiah 33? The refuge part? You think so? Yeah, remember what Roger said? We do something Sunday, forget by Monday? Okay. All righty. I don't know if Roger's a prophet or a son of the prophet, but sure. Hey, I can do that with Kendall. We have a good relationship. But his wife might take... I don't hear you guys' comments, okay? I'm in charge up here, all right? So, anyway, Kendall knows how much I think of him, how much I respect him and his knowledge of the Scripture and his desire to get things right. So, anyway, thankful to be here, grateful to have been able to attend the Men's Peaks Clinic. Just one thing for a couple of you, if you're looking to listen to the messages, of course, they're always listed, usually fairly quickly. I didn't check today, but at the Bozeman Congregation's website, ChristChurchOnline.com. But if you want to watch the video, you want to see the video that was recorded by Tim McHenry. He does the audio and the video of the messages. You can go to CC Peaks, P-E-A-K-S, CC Peaks. Put that in the search box of YouTube, and they'll come up. Now, I don't know if they're there yet. I'm pretty sure they're not. But in the next week, if you want to watch them and listen to them, because we all know how we become pretty video-oriented in our culture, you can do that. Just want to mention that. Okay? Isaiah 33. For the sake of time, we'll just pick up where I'm going to be working. Verse 5 and 6. I was going to read a little bit more, but we'll go. Yahweh is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness, and he shall be the stability of your times. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure. Let's go to Yahweh, Lord Jesus. Great God, mighty God, eternal Father, wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. We thank you again for the opportunity to be together, to have partaken with you and all the faithful by faith at your table that you set for us in the heavenly places. You have seated us there with you. And by our faith, you have told us we are to understand that's where we're at. So we look tonight in Isaiah's prophetic message that he's putting forth here, really talking about you in some degree, really, for our benefit. Lord, I am thankful that you have declared you are exalted and you raised us up with you. So I'm grateful for that. I just pray that the message tonight, Father, would be communicated in a way that would encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ, would edify them, and then equip them for the work of service that you've entrusted to us. Just grateful again to be a part of the kingdom, to enjoy the privileges and the blessings that come with that, including the opportunity individually and as a congregation to lift our voice in praise and prayer, knowing that that is the sacrifice of the lips. And it arises before you, it is fragrant, and it is pleasing. So just pray that you would help me to communicate effectively so that you would be glorified. And I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen. Timing, what we're looking at in Isaiah 33. Isaiah, of course, was a prophet sent to preach to the powerful. His counterpart was Micah preaching to the people. time is, we'll just say seven round numbers, 725 BC, when they both start round numbers. I'm just throwing generic out there, okay? And they're going to be present together till about 685, 686 BC, somewhere in that area. The timing in this, as Isaiah's writing this, you got to go back and look at the context leading up to Isaiah chapter 33. And you can go back to Isaiah 31 and see where God warns Israel. He says, do not trust in Egypt or in their horses. Okay, don't turn to these guys that got this great chariot army as some kind of source that's going to help you in the oncoming march and crush that's taking place by the Assyrians. When you flip forward to Isaiah 36, which is also recorded in 2 Kings 18, you see Hezekiah in Jerusalem, and here comes Sennacherib. And if you have a problem remembering this guy's name, the one that was the Assyrian that came to take down Jerusalem, just remember he came to have a snack on a rib. Okay? He was a rib guy. Sennacherib. Okay? So, and that's 701 BC when that happened. So the timing is around this time, 701, 702 BC. That's the time you're looking at when Isaiah's prophesying, talking to the nation of Israel, exhorting them, encouraging them, saying, don't turn elsewhere with this oncoming, crushing army of the Assyrians. Turn to the Lord. See, there's something really ominous approaching. And all the nations are going poof, poof, down before the armies of the Assyrian king. See, you've got other Assyrian kings, which I just don't have enough time to go through all that information for you tonight, that have been there before, that, you know, years earlier had taken out the northern kingdom. All right, so it's at the time that this is being spoken of, that's already happened. Judah's left. Here comes Assyria under the leadership of Sennacherib, and he intends to take Jerusalem down. Okay, so that's what's coming. That's the scenario. Something ominous is approaching. What are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? So this is the lesson for the church as it was for the nation of Israel back then. So God is saying, you need to understand, my people, throughout most of human history, it's not going to be a stable time. It's going to be the instability of times that you're normally going to be acting within your life, you know, carrying out your life. So he says it's going to be the instability of our times that you need to understand. Can Satan use nations? Yes, he can use nations. God allow it? Yes, he can allow it. You can look at Ezekiel 28, and he seems to be talking to the king of Tyre, but you read it closely, we all know. Who's he really talking to when he lays a lament and the woe down on the king of Tyre? He's talking directly to Satan. See, the guys that come against God's people are always, ultimately, under the control of Satan. So anything you see coming that seems to be marching against the liberties, the freedoms, the practices, the preaching of the church, you can be sure Satan's behind it. You can be sure of that. So we've had a wonderful last year and a half in the history of America, where, you know, we were all cruising along at the end of 2019. By, you know, March 2020, there's all kinds of things going on we never imagined would have happened. And then they watched how the public responded. It became a worldwide pandemic. That can be a discussion there in and of itself. But, and then they watched how the people responded. And I mean, they just rolled right over and threw their soft underbelly up. And, whoa. The world powers are like, that was pretty easy. That was pretty easy. You know, we don't talk about what the Constitution says about personal liberty. You just got to do this because some bureaucrat in Washington or Helena, you know, said you need to do this. No discussion about what are our rights, what are our liberties, do we get to make choices? None of that. Brethren, it went so well. I know what's coming next. That was just the first salvo. They're just going to reload, and here comes the next one. So we're going to be standing around kind of like what it was in the days of Jacob with the boys when the famine was in the land, and we're going to be looking at each other. What do we do? Who knows where we'll be a year from now? Who knows? What are we going to do? Where are we going to put value? This is going to be the question I want to ask you. Where are you going to put your value in the next year? What's valuable? Because right here in our verses, just to go back and look at them again, in verse 5, at the last, well, let's just go to verse 6. He shall be the stability of your times. He shall be your faithfulness. He shall be your strength. He shall be your stability of your times. Okay, he tells you, here's where the wealth is. Here's what you should be valuing. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. And then the fear of the Lord, or fear of Yahweh, is his treasure. This message is going to work predominantly in Proverbs. So let's just go to the book of Proverbs. Okay? Let's start in chapter 2. Proverbs gives some great lessons. I'm just going to run through some things fast. But I want you to remember that where is the value? Where is the wealth according to God? Here comes this ominous thing. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Where are we going to turn? What are we going to do? Where's the wealth? He will be the stability of your times. He'll be your strength. He'll be the faithful one. The wealth is going to be in what God says is important to remember when this happens. All right? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. You can go on and read all the way down through verse 22. Do it later. I just don't have the time, okay, to go through this whole section. But he's going to give that. That's what Solomon said, my son. Did Solomon listen to his own advice? Kind of seems like he didn't. But that's the advice. The wisdom from God, the knowledge from God, the understanding from God. What's valuable? Well, I'm going to run to the world and find out what they say I should do to face this ominous thing that's approaching. You know, I'm going to run to the medical authorities and make sure I got everything lined up from them on this pandemic. You know, now we got the Delta variant. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I'll tell you what the stability of your times is you get your book in the your nose into the book and you start figuring out what's God's wisdom say about things like when this is going on. What does he say? What's the knowledge I need? What kind of understanding should I possess? It's the wealth. Where should I spend my time? What's valuable? I need to be around the people of God. I need to get the encouragement I need from them. I need to get into the book. I need to believe what God has said. That he really can deliver me. So he's got a record of all these incredible miracles that he's done over the years. And the Old Testament is there for our example and for our instruction, designed to give us perseverance and hope, right? All there to say, he can deliver. Even when it looks like defeat is there, he has an extremely good record of jerking victory from the jaws of defeat. When I used to work in an airline years ago, the guys had an opposite saying about things when they would go bad. When you're running an airline, you have lots of opportunity for things to go bad. And so they would talk about, well, we jerked defeat from the jaws of victory again. You know, about what would happen on a daily basis with the operation. Because you didn't know what was ever going to happen. And that became a funny saying with the guys I worked with. Yeah, we jerked defeat from the jaws of victory again. You know, somebody to blame because the plane wasn't maintained right or whatever. See? They just fell into a, you know, no hope. Guys, we need to understand that the stability, the faithfulness of God is what's going to get us through these tough times. And I honestly believe, and I've been telling you guys this, you know this has been my mantra of late. Things are coming. He didn't promise us a rose garden, right? I beg your pardon. All right? Things are coming. So what are we going to do? Now, I'm not trying to knock you down into the dirt. I'm trying to actually prepare you when I talk about these things for what's coming. I'm just going to tell you, this is my opinion. I'm not going to hold anybody to it. But the next time they tell us, you can't assemble together, I'm not going to observe that. I'm now on the line out there for the world to know. Well, we go right there and we get Kevin Simpson and throw him in jail. If they say I can't come here and assemble, I don't care what they said. I'm coming here to assemble, and anybody else wants to join me, I'll be here. I'm doing it. I am not staying away. Next time they say this is the reason to stay away, I'm coming. Now, you make your own decision. I will honor whatever your own decision is. I'm not going to judge you. But I'm telling you, I'm coming. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's the stability of my times. The wealth is His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding. Where am I going to get it? Here. From my brothers and my sisters. Conversation with you is encouraging me. My brother's teaching. Okay? Wisdom, knowledge. Proverbs 3, very next chapter. We should still be there. I didn't tell you to go anywhere else. Okay? I went too far, sorry. I want to go to where I want to go. I got to read through a couple of things here. Verse 26. 3:26, Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord Yahweh will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. Putting your faith in something you shouldn't have. Okay? He's your confidence. That gives us confidence. Wisdom. Knowledge. All right? Salvation. Man, what's the value of knowing your salvation? What is the value of that to each of us? What is it? You have to ask yourself that. What is the value of that? Can I really stand, like when Jesus said, do not fear the one who can kill you, but fear the one who can send you that really bad place. I'm paraphrasing just to make it audience friendly. I'm not saying that H word, you know. So, who are you going to fear? We all got to, how much value to put on your salvation?
Well, the Delta variant is now running rampant in Yellowstone County. Everybody has to wear masks. No more gatherings of more than 25 people. 6-foot spacing. Oh, and because it's so out of control, we don't want to, kill anybody this time around because we should know better. Anybody that shows up and there's more than 25 people in the building, you're all going to jail. You're all going to be fined $7,000. We'll find out quick where your faith is. You're like, what? Now, again, I'm trying to prepare us. I really believe some things are coming. So I'm trying to prepare us. You're going to have to make your call. Whatever you do, you do. I'm not going to hold anything against you. I want you to understand that. The stability of your times is the Lord. Knowing your salvation is secure. Paul said, hey, even if this earthly tent of mine is torn down, I have an eternal building from God, not made with human hands. Do we believe it? See, wisdom, knowledge, provides stability in our daily living. The wealth of salvation in God, what does that allow us to do? Face death. I don't know if any of us will face death. I'm talking about, even if, let's say that I come and I act, quote, irresponsibly, unquote, I get whatever the latest lambda, I'm trying to think what the phonetic alphabet is for Greek here, go through all of them. Maybe I get the Omega version of COVID. And I die. Okay, I died. Go ahead, Satan, threaten me with heaven. Is that how you see this? Go ahead, Satan. Threaten me with heaven.
treasure. This is what I really wanted to talk about. That was the bad stuff. The treasure is your fear, your reverence, your awe, your astonishment of the Lord. Proverbs 1. We all know this. And I'm just going to give some verses. You can go look at them later after this. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, who do you revere? Who do you look upon in awe? Who are you astonished by? Okay? By what? I mean, hey, there's some people in some countries that have pulled off some amazing stuff. Hey, there's a lot of people that think that this vaccine that they've done for the COVID is an astonishing accomplishment. Okay, great. I think it's pretty amazing that there's 300 billion lines of code just to create the DNA that we have in our body. I think that's pretty astonishing. You know? Yeah, mRNA stuff, which really isn't relatively new science, medical science. It really isn't. They've been working on it for a while. But still, they learned how to fold a protein. Hey, cool. Who made the protein? You know, to me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of the Lord, the awe of the Lord. 300 billion lines, something like that, in DNA of information. That is incredible. It's incredible. Proverbs 9:10 would say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can also see that in Psalms 110 or 111:10. Psalms 111 is a great psalm to read, by the way. Okay, now let's go to Acts 10. Go to Acts 10. I got just a few things I can rip through real fast. This is a pretty important characteristic for those who want to make it, get home to heaven, have the opportunity to share in that wealth of salvation, share in that wealth of knowledge, share in that wealth of wisdom. Verse 34 of Acts 10. And opening his mouth, Peter said, this is the household of Cornelius, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who, and that would include women, who fears him, and like Roger says, does what is right, is welcome to him. You will not do what is right unless you revere. You stand in awe. Not fear like you're going to get smacked down, but awe of what God does. I don't know about you guys. When I go through proof that the Bible is the Word of God, and I lay some of that stuff out, and you can, and then you show people, here, watch this video, watch that. Right, Roger? Right, Bruce? Right? Watch this video. Watch. Bruce, oh, this is great stuff. Right? Right, Bruce? Bruce is going through it right now, checking it out. That's fun. Right? He sees the value of that. Wow. And so he's in awe of what God's been able to do. And he looks at the record, the actual record that's there that proves what God said. He says, wow. What did we all say when we saw it? How come I never knew this? Could it be Satan? I mean, you know, he's got a propaganda campaign. You know, he is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. He's going to shut it off if he can. All right. That stuff, I get excited when I watch people's eyes pop. They go, whoa, this is amazing. There's evidence of the Exodus. There's evidence, you know, just one thing after another. It got me. I was excited when I found it. Did you guys get excited? Man, I hope you did. Acts 13. This is Paul talking to men of Israel. Oh, and in verse 16, men of Israel, and you who fear God. See, nobody's going to be standing around wanting to hear the message if they don't fear God. That's the treasure. See, that word in the Hebrew means that's where you're heaping stuff up. That's your storehouse. That's where you're putting everything. Woo! That's your treasure house. The fear of the Lord, that is where you start to go, I'm appraising everything properly. Now I value all this wisdom of God, knowledge of God, the wealth of His salvation, and I'm throwing it in my storehouse. Boom, boom, boom. Getting it in there as it strengthens me to stand no matter what comes. And boy, did the first century church have some serious challenges. It's a cakewalk for us right now. 26, I wanted to read verse 26 as well. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, he's most obviously addressing what would be the Jewish contingent there, and those among you who fear God. To us, the word of this salvation is sent out. Do you suppose they went, just another talker? What was that? Salvation? You know, sometimes we read this stuff, we don't really assess the impact this would have on the people at that time. Salvation. You know, we're told in the book of Philippians from the Apostle Paul that each of us Christians is supposed to do, work out his salvation, right? In fear, reverence, not, again, I don't want you to get a picture when I use fear of you stand up there with his Louisville slugger just waiting to get you. It's not what he's doing. You're like, wow, I can't believe I should go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. He's given me an opportunity to be saved. And not only that, he calls me his son. He said, I'm part of a royal priesthood. He says he's going to spend eternity with me. And he proved it to me by dying on the cross. He came in the flesh, took on all the burdens of mankind, died for me. We forget this stuff too easily, brethren. We don't really process it and think about it. In the day-to-day, things are going on. I can tell you when the COVID hit last year, there's a lot of things that I should have been immediately coming to the forefront of my mind, but I was looking at the COVID like everybody else going, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? In the beginning, we didn't have enough information. So I generally, I'll be honest here, I understand that we kind of closed things down initially. But the more information that I got, and I had a lot of information before they really did a lot of the shutting down, that indicated it probably came from that lab in Wuhan. By the way, that information you used to be able to find on the internet about what I used to be able to look up, pictures of military pictures, of the installation of the Wuhan lab, where there's all these cars and everything in the parking lot. All of a sudden, about the middle of October, boom, there's virtually no cars in that parking lot. Our military intelligence had that information, was going, what happened down there? Oh, what do they do down there? Oh, biological weapons. Literally overnight, I am not kidding you, brethren. Gone. So I'm standing in my general manager's office telling him in January, when they just announced, the end of January, they just announced the first person infected in Washington State. Hey, man, I saw stuff on, I don't think this is a natural thing. I'm pretty sure this came from this lab in Wuhan. I told him, here's where you can go look and find the information. He did. He went and looked, saw it for himself. You know, when our president at that time, President Trump, you know, got up there and when he was telling the truth, hey man, I got information, man. Pointing, what'd the media do? Oh, are you? You know, could it be Satan? See, I'm telling you, brethren. Now, whether it was released on purpose or not, I can't. Definitively prove that. But I do know that once they knew it was released, all you got to do is watch what the Chinese government did. Oh, all you international flights, come on in. Come on. All you Chinese people still want to go out there? Go. What were they doing? Send it everywhere. They had information that's come out. Well, anyway, that's what I'm saying is, we have something very ominous that the world sees in front of them. Would you agree with that statement? That's my point. Would you agree with that? Now people that have been vaccinated are getting breakthrough cases. And, you know, that you can, I'm telling you, I just go to whatever website you want to call it. And I'll look it up, and they are ratcheting up the fear about this Delta. And I notice there's not a lot of really good, complete information coming out. Okay, so there's a lot of people being infected. How many are actually hospitalized on a percentage basis? What are their ages? What are their underlying health issues? Why are they in the hospital? You know, you never get the information you could use to make a sound judgment about how we should, as a people, in a locale, or as a nation, address this. See, so here's Israel, 701, 702 BC. Vroom, 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 vroom. Here comes Assyria, and all they hear is, the nations are falling before him everywhere. Here's Isaiah and Micah. No, no, turn to Yahweh. You know, we can do this. Does that sound vaguely familiar? He'll knock them out. No, we can't do it. Yes, you can. That's what's going on. See, Israel just keeps repeating the same pattern. God says, I'll deliver you. Delivers him. Ah, trouble. Oh, what are we going to do? God's like, over here? Over here? Now, I don't, like I said, it's possible. I could be irresponsible. I'm going to Ohio with my wife to see my daughter and my son-in-law and our grandchildren. I might get Delta variant. I might be dead next week. I don't know. I could be. It's a possibility. I'm not saying this isn't a serious illness. It's a serious illness. If you have underlying problems, health issues, it's a serious illness. You should take it seriously. Okay? But what I'm trying to help you guys understand is, where are we going to, what are we going to value? Are we going to value what the Billings Gesset, you know, and the Butte Substandard, or, you know, whatever. Go through, you know. I pick on them all. You know, Fox is the fraternal order of xenophobes, okay? Just for you guys that are Fox fans, okay? You know, and if you don't know what a xenophobe is, you can come talk to me later. But anyway, listen, I'm just telling you, who are we going to turn to? I'm trying to encourage you, get your nose in the book. We had an awesome peaks, and the message that came is the sure increase of the church. So we can look at what's coming one of two ways. This is going to be a tremendous opportunity, or we run for the hills. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I guarantee you, the eyes of everybody that's wondering, is there a God? Does he really save people? Will I live eternally? They're going to be looking at the church and going, what are they doing? What are they doing? See, and that's what Isaiah, Mike, what are we going to do? Did you hear what they said about you, Lord? Did you hear what Rabshakeh said about you? They laid it out, Hezekiah and Isaiah. Look, this is what he said, Lord. Man, show them that you are God. So here's my prayer. Show them you're God. Show them you're God. Do what you're going to do, Lord. If this is part of your plan, okay, I know it's part of his plan. He's allowing it to happen. Do what you're going to do. Show them that you are God. You guys can see I'm kind of fired up about this stuff, but it's important stuff. Two last verses and we're done. Thank you for letting me go over, but I want the record to show I didn't get up here until 25 to 8. So I'm only on 30 minutes right now. Okay? I know you guys are going wrong. It's true. I looked at the clock when I came up here. All right, Proverbs 16. Here's what a proper fear, reverence, awe, being astonished at what God is able to, here's what it does. These principles, even though they're written in the Proverbs in the Old Covenant, the principles still carry over to us in the New. Proverbs 16:6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. Amen. And by the fear of the Lord, of Yahweh, one keeps away from evil. See, if you know the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that comes from God, you recognize what is evil, will you not? Hebrews says we're supposed to have our senses trained to discern between what? Good and evil. See, that's fear of the Lord, brethren. That's not worrying about he's going to smack you with a big old boar. It's you are in awe of what God has made available to you. Nobody can snooker you. I'm not saying the coronavirus is us being snookered. I'm just saying. Okay? Proverbs 14. This is the one that we'll end on. Proverbs 14, 27. Well, how about we'll just do 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. but you won't turn to him for refuge if you don't have the proper fear or awe, you know, of God. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. What's he concerned with? Kevin, avoiding the snare of death of COVID-19 or whatever it is now, COVID-20, 21, whatever. Is he more concerned about that? Or is he more concerned about me escaping the snare of eternal death? That's the one that I run through my head. He is not concerned about me dying because he said he'll lead us as sheep to be slaughtered. That's his word. Some may be slaughtered. Some of us may be martyred. So it's obviously not that. He's talking about eternal death. Don't turn to somebody for counsel. Don't turn to the dead, you know, as Jesus would say, for counsel. Turn to the one who gives life. Amen? Good? Turn to the one who gives life. So, what does Satan want to steal from you? The treasure. He wants you to not appraise the wealth properly of the knowledge, wisdom, and salvation of God, and he wants to steal your treasure, where you're throwing everything into, what you're laying up, storing up. So that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to steal it from you. So he wants to steal your fear and reverence of the Lord. So those who lack stability lack the wealth of knowledge, wisdom, and salvation in the Lord. Those are the ones who lack stability. And why do they lack that? Because they lack a proper fear, awe, reverence of the Lord. It's really what it is. That's the importance of taking people through the proof that the Bible is the Word of God and showing them all those videos. It builds that proper awe and reverence of what God's able to do. Appreciate your guys' attention. Let me harangue you a bit. I care about you. You know I do. I want us to get home to heaven, all of us. So who's going to be the stability of our times? It's not going to be the Billings Gazette. I'm telling you that for me. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and what he tells me I should be doing in the times that are as unstable as I can remember in my lifetime. Let's stand.